You have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. We're going to begin by reading verses 12 through 18. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 4 and read the first six verses. And we're going to pick up, I'm going to do a short review, and we're going to pick up where we left off on the message, the series. This is Removing the Veil, Part 2. Removing the Veil, Part 2. We'll continue in that this morning. Second Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 18. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now skipping to chapter 4, picking up in verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank You for Your word. We pray today, Lord, as we launch out and go a little further in this series about unveiling, Father, we just pray that, Lord, You would just pour Your Spirit out on us, open our understanding of our hearts and our minds. Lord, as I move us forward in this series today, I pray, Lord, that I would only speak the words that You have ordained, not a word more or a word less, that, Lord, You would watch my mouth. Put a watch on it, Lord God. And all that we do here today, Lord, we're here to glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen. So we talked about several things last week. Just very quickly, I want to hit some high points. Notice it says in our second scripture that even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And last week I gave the example of how I tried to read the Word of God and understand it before I got born again. And I couldn't comprehend it. It didn't make any sense to me. But after I got born again, there was that hunger that came into my heart for the Word of God. And God unveiled the Word of God to me. And I could pick it up and read it any time. And it began to make sense to me. Because now I have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is truth. And the Word of God is truth. So you get those two working together in your life, and you got something going on that you're going to bring understanding in your life that's going to literally tear the veil away. And then it makes it very clear that the veil that is on those that are blinded by the veil, it was put there by the God of this age, it says in verse 4 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. It says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And I shared with you the importance that we pray and target prayer for the people that we're praying for that are unsaved, that the veil would be taken away, that the God of this world, little g, has put on their minds, and they're not able to understand and not able to see the light of the glory of God. And we talked about how important that is, and I hope you remembered. I hope this week you began the process of praying like that for specific people, loved ones, but also people that you run across, people that God puts on your heart. I want you to understand something. There are people in this church today that many, many years ago I began praying for and witnessing to. There are people here today that I've seen this work over the years. So I know it works. I'm not preaching something to you that I haven't been practicing for a long time. I've seen it work. I know it works. It says also, He made His light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I love that, in the face of Christ. When we worship Jesus and we're drawn to Him, He said that He will draw all men unto Himself if He would be praised. And when He draws us to Himself, then we are in the face of Christ. And glory resides there. Amen? And so the veil that we're talking about removing is the veil that has dulled the minds of people who are not walking under the lordship of Christ. And I talked about in that there are many people that profess to be saved, but they're not under the lordship of Christ, so they're deceived. Because the Word of God makes it abundantly clear that He needs to be Lord and Savior. If He's just Savior, all He is a fire blanket. And we don't need a fire blanket. We need a Savior that saves us completely. And that happens through giving Him lordship of our lives. You know, I feel like preaching this morning. I don't know what time we're going to get out of here. I'm messing with you. But I'm serious. I so feel the presence of God here today. And that He is just watching over His Word to perform it today. To bring forth truth, to birth truth in our hearts, to open our eyes as the veil is removed. Whatever those things are that are veiled in our understanding, I believe through this series that God is going to strip the veils away, and many of us are going to be awakened to new truths. I believe that. Will you believe with me? And then I talked about, we started launching into a book, some segments of that, titled Culturally Incorrect, that was written in 2007 by Pastor Rod Parsley. I shared with you that I had bought it that year and read it, and that the Lord had reminded me of that book recently, and I went to my bookshelf and found that book and ended up rereading most of it. But it could have been written for today. And so we started going through a bunch of things. I'm going to end up preaching the same message over again if I cover everything. But I want to drive these points home. The American Heritage Dictionary defines the term worldview as, first of all, the overall perspective from which one sees and interprets the world. What it is the starting point for every interpretation. We talked about that for a little while. And then the second thing that it says in this dictionary about worldview is it's a collection of beliefs about life in the universe held by an individual or group. And that's a fact. We know that's true. Those are true facts. Life and universe, we talked about them. Can't go back through that. All right, so I'm going to fast forward down to where we left off, and where we left off was we had been talking about Klebold and Harris. I I had read that segment out of the book that I just talked about, and Klebold and Harris that committed the horrific mass murder in Columbine, yes, thank you, in Columbine, and what a horrific thing that was, and we had been talking about how you build a worldview that would cause them to do that. Remember, how many of you were with me? We talked about how you would build that, and that actually what was talked about is exactly how that worldview was built into those young people. Okay? So, in other words, you must construct a specific worldview in order to mold a person, to shape a person or people into the kind of people that would do that. And that's precisely what happened with Klebold and Harris. So worldviews matter. Worldviews matter a lot, because whatever your worldview is the starting point of where you're going to discern anything and everything in your life and in the world. That is the starting point. So if you don't possess a biblical worldview, you end up in all kinds of wrong doctrine. It's why it's so important that we study to show ourselves approved. That's speaking of the Word of God. It's why it's so important that we hide the Word of God in our hearts and filter everything that we do and believe through the foundation of the Word of God in our lives. Because when our worldview is built on the foundation of the Word of God, then it will be a biblical worldview. And we won't be duped into all kinds of false doctrine, such as people are today. A person's worldview directly determines his or her attitudes and actions, values, and choices. In other words, worldview is destiny for individuals and civilizations. Whatever a person or group's worldview is, will reflect what their destiny will be. If you have a worldview that comes from a godless foundation, your worldview will lead you to death. Because life without Christ is death. Right? We make it sense here. So it's so vitally important what our worldview is. Now are you understanding why the God of this world has worked so very hard to offer all kinds of unbiblical worldviews? He's worked very hard to distort our worldview. We see it manifesting today, the worst it's been in my lifetime. We see it manifesting in our nation today. I never thought I would see the things I'm seeing in my lifetime this year. I really didn't. But things have escalated so fast. And here we are. Now, I said that, but I didn't say that as an alarmist. I said that as a person that has victory in Christ. And what is, right? What is, we can't change. What is. We can't change what is, but we surely can make a difference in the future by practicing a biblical worldview, doing all we can to restore it. Okay, so Charles Colston, how many of you know who that is? Okay, praise God, several hands up. Charles Colston has written of his belief in the power of worldview to impact a society. It says this segment says, this is right from a writing from Charles Colson, says, this is the challenge for the church today. There has never been a time when the transformation brought about by Christian faith has been so greatly needed. Unfortunately, too many Christians have disregarded Christ's command to occupy and transform the culture. And the absence of a Christian voice in the public square has only compounded our problems. Therefore, we can make a real and lasting difference in the culture if we must understand how the biblical worldview connects us with every aspect of creation. That's well written. That is well written. Chuck Colson is right on the mark. He is on the beam. Listen, guys, we are supposed to occupy. And I want to tell you something. Occupy is a form of the word occupation. It's time the body of Christ takes up our application, our operation. It's time we take up the mantle that God has us in this world right now for such a time as this. Listen, God has given the body of Christ a voice. It's up to us to carry the good news of the gospel and the truth of a biblical worldview out there into the world. I'm doing everything I can to restore a biblical worldview in the body, this body of believers in this church. But now, once we have done this, then it's time for you to go out there into the marketplace. Out there and carry the truth of the Word of God. Carry the truth of a biblical worldview into a world that is desperately headed for hell. Eventually, there are going to be people that get sick of the chaos. I think there are people out there that have been enjoying the last 5 months. I do. Because they just live for the chaos. There's an evil inside of them that doesn't want peace, wants strife all the time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know people like that? There are people out there that just want trouble. Well, Jesus said, I have come to bring peace. He's a peace in the midst of the storm. Charles Colson laid it out absolutely true. It's time that the church occupy. It's time that the church gets back to their occupation. We know what our occupation is, the Great Commission. And a big part of that is standing up for a biblical worldview. When we proclaim and pray for people, see, it's not just standing up, stiff-necked, and harping in somebody's face the truth. It's about praying for them that the veil will be removed so the truth penetrates. Am I making sense? We got to do it all. So one important key to restoration and wholeness for our culture lies in people of faith forming, proclaiming, and contending publicly for a biblical worldview. Our problem is we have for too long produced in this nation weak, limp-wristed Christians that won't stand up for anything. They won't even stand up in their own family and proclaim Christ. Am I making sense? That is what has to stop. Listen, guys, we are, if you haven't figured this out, let me give you a revelation. We're living in the last days. I don't know when the last day is, and if I said I did, I'd be a heretic. Because nobody knows. And that's fact. But Jesus said he would know by the seasons. Have you been looking at the seasons lately? We're living in the last days. We're seeing fulfillment of prophecy at a rate such as never happened before. That excites me. That means Jesus is getting closer to return. Is somebody looking in the eastern sky right now? Sadly, at this pivotal moment in history, far too many Christians have unknowingly absorbed elements of false and unbiblical belief systems. Let me ask you something. I have this happen all the time. People come up to me, maybe after I've preached or or contact me. Well, Pastor Wayne, I've been debating with my loved one because they've decided that they're going to live in sexual sin, whatever that is, whether it's homosexuality or whether it's heterosexual but living together out of the bounds of marriage or whatever, or they've decided they're going to live this way or they're going to live that way, and they're for this and they're for that, and all worked up because can't find the words to debate well with these people, with these loved ones. Let me ask you something. Is there any account of Jesus ever debating with anyone? No. Is there any account of the disciples or the apostles debating with anyone? No. The bottom line is this. When God says no, it's no. It's real simple. When God says no, it's no. When he said don't do it, he meant don't do it. Because if you do, there's going to be consequences. That's a biblical worldview. And it makes it real simple. So those of you who are here today that are in that situation, the answer is real simple. God said no. Am I clear? Was it loud enough? Was it clear enough? Did I mince my words? Because I could back up and do it all again. See, we make things hard because we start questioning in ourselves. We need to know where we stand, whether we really possess a biblical worldview completely. And then once we know we do, then stand for it. Lovingly say, God said no. I oppose this because God opposes it. He said no, so I'm saying no. I tell my kids, God said no, so I'm telling you no. I don't care if you don't like it. Because God said no. In my own life, all of us have a tendency towards sin. In my own life, I have to remind myself sometimes, God said no. Right? Do I want to walk right with God? Do I want to please God? God said no. Glory, hallelujah. See, we're getting woke up. You feel it? He's here, man, in a big way. We're getting woke up. We have referred to a number of different isms. Humanism, atheism, and nihilism. I could also mention Marxism, which is a form of communism, socialism, and New Age mysticism. These have all risen up in popularity have all reared their ugly heads right now for such a time as this. It's rampant in our culture. For those of you who think Black Lives Matter is about black lives, you're deceived. It's not. You need to do your research. I did. What it's rooted in is Marxism. And we've got cities that have in great big bold black letters painted on their streets, Black Lives Matter. And listen, it's not about Black Lives Matter. It's about pushing socialism, Marxism, and many other agendas. That's what it's about. And that is not a biblical world view that they are living. It's all under the guise of caring for people. They don't. Because caring people don't bring destruction everywhere they go. That's not what caring people do. Also, I've been doing some research. Do you know what the average of how many abortions are done in this nation every year? Do you know what the average is? It's over a million. And that's from the CDC. That count. It's over a million abortions that are done in this nation. Okay, now, do you want to hear how many of them are African American of that million? Roughly 400,000. They're killing their own at a rate nobody else is. Black Lives Matter? It's time that it's not a woman's choice anymore. If black lives really matter, then it's time that it's not a woman's choice anymore. Because God said no. God said no to murder. Thou shalt not murder. Any questions? See, I do feel like preaching. God said no. See, we have all kinds of different standards. People pushing agendas hidden under the envelope of something else. It's time that the truth prevails, and it's time that the body of Christ possesses a biblical worldview and goes out into the world proclaiming the truth. For example, Marxism/communism is a colossal failure in every respect. Do your research. Do your homework. That system has failed every single time without fail. Every single time it has failed. It has always harmed people. It has always, that system has always left people destitute. And it has always produced violence and control. Always. Which produces death. Not one of Karl Marx's confident predictions about the course of history has borne out. Not one. His economic theories are utterly discredited. And history has clearly shown that wherever Marxism became the dominant paradigm, individual liberty perished. Living standards plummeted, and multitudes died. Nevertheless, you'll find ardent believers in Marxism all over America and Europe. Our universities' faculties are filled with Karl Marx admirers. Do you know what you're sending your children out to when you send them off to college? Most people don't. I've seen way too many young people that were good kids for the most part, and they went to college and came back liberal kooks. I don't know how else to say it. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to tell the truth. Now please understand, I'm not down on college. I'm down on them indoctrinating our young people. And that's what's happening in the colleges today. They're teaching a lot more of what they're not supposed to be teaching than what they're teaching, of what they're supposed to be teaching. There's too many professors that are indoctrinating our young people when we send them off to college. It's even happening at the high school level in some schools. There are teachers that are pushing their agendas. I thank God for the Christian teachers that we have in our schools around this area. We have some of them in our church. Thank God for those Christian teachers. Because there's a voice there that's the truth. It boggles my mind to think about the percentage of people in this nation that are actually attracted to Marxism, socialism. We in this nation have the best free market system in the world. And it works. Our system works when people work it. When it gets disrupted by all kinds of other ideologies, then it's harmed. But when it functions, when it's free to function the way it's supposed to function, people flourish. I'm telling you the truth. But there is a movement in the world, and this was prophesied, there's a movement in the world to move ourselves to a one world government and a one world economic system, which will be accompanied by a cashless society. How many of you have noticed that now, all of a sudden, after only 5 months of COVID, we all of a sudden have a shortage of change? There's stores you go into and you have to have exact change or use your card. Now, does anybody else think this is a little bizarre? It's phony. There's no shortage of coins. They're creating a shortage of coins because they want us to get used to using our cards and being a cashless society. See, if they get away with this with the silver, with our coins, then the next thing is you won't have $1 bills anymore, and then it'll be $5 bills. I'm telling you the truth. You just wait. It's coming. It's coming. Have you been paying attention? No, it's good to ask questions. They're seeing how far they can push the people right now. How far they can push people that churches won't meet. Now, all of a sudden, they started burning Bibles. Burned a pile of Bibles in Portland the other night. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Black Lives Matter. But so then why do we burn Bibles? Because it's not about black lives. See, I know black lives matter because every life matters. Every life matters. Is this nation screwed up when we had slavery law? Yeah, but none of us did that. So don't come burn my house down because I didn't have nothing to do with that. God is so good. And He, I'm sure, is grieved by all that is happening right now. However, it's not like He's surprised. You can't surprise God. You can't sneak up on God. Right? Because He knows the beginning from the end. But I'm sure that He's grieved with all that's going on. But see, He's not only grieved with the evil that is happening, He's grieved with the body of Christ that has been silent for too long. Hiding, shaking, walking in fear. Am I making sense? Fact is, if it comes right down to it, I would say He's probably more grieved with that than He is the evil that's flourishing. Because the reason evil flourishes is because there's the absence of the presence of God and His people. Biblical worldview. We've got to get back to a truly biblical worldview. Everything we believe has got to come from the foundation of the Word of God and the foundation of Jesus Christ. When God says no in His Word, it means no, and there's no debate about it. There is no debate. There is nothing to debate. Because when God says no and He makes it clear, it's no. See, and I can stand here and say that because I'm just a vessel. God said no. Don't crucify me. I'm just the oracle. Right? Well, we're out of time already. Lord willing, we'll pick up where we left off next week. How about that? Are you guys getting ignited? You fired up? Yes. Give God a prayer. Give Him a prayer. Let's all stand together. Father, we thank You for You watching over Your Word to perform it today in this place. And Lord, as we have come in today expecting to receive from You, we pray, Lord, that as our hearts have been open, as our minds have been receptive, that Lord, as we have heard the truth, that it would take root in our hearts, that You would water it by the power of Your Spirit, and that, Lord God, You would seal this Word in our hearts and in our minds, so that, Lord, it would not be stolen away by the enemy, the god of this world that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because, Lord, You have come to give life and life to the full. And, Lord, we stand on that, and we proclaim in Jesus' name that we will stand when we are called to stand, and we will speak when we're called to speak the truth for Your glory and for Your name's sake. Now, Lord, I pray that we would all walk in divine health as we walk with You, Lord God. You're a great physician. And I pray a divine health over every man, woman, and child in this place, that COVID and no other disease will consume us in Jesus' name, because we've been set free. Him who Christ has set free is free indeed. And we thank You, Lord, for that. And You're our healer. And we give You praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.